interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Monday to you. And it is a Monday, Seiste Mayo, edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 1037 The Game. Ben Love and the famous Clint D, one day off his birthday. Just a day older and hopefully a little bit wiser. For the next 2.5 hours, we got you from inside the 237 Roof Studios. Remember, there's no job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. And when you have a weekend like we just did, sometimes you have to call upon what I'm going to call the split screen. You know what I'm talking about. When you get your picture-in-picture on, all right, that's like 95 terminology with TVs. When you go dual screen. And today, I want to start with the Kentucky Derby on one side and LSU baseball. Some of the fireworks, in particular, Drew Bianco on Friday night. The results, LSU losing 2 out of 3 throughout the weekend. We'll put that on the opposite side. We'll go split screen to begin the program today. I've got thoughts on both, and I want to get yours as well. Join in when you're ready. 706-0111. As far as the Kentucky Derby, I've got to be honest with you. I always try to be. When I frequent a sport for all of 3 days a year, and probably for about 3.5 to 4 minutes on those 3 days, so let's do that quick multiplication. If I'm giving a sport all of 11 minutes of my attention in a year, I'm not going to go against what those who are entrenched in it every day say. And so, yes, if everybody who knows horse racing, if all the jockeys, if everybody except for basically your guy, CD, Bob Baffert, unless you're like the upper crust and your horse didn't win and you lost hundreds of thousands of dollars, you bet against Maximum Security, or maybe I should say you bet on him and that didn't count for you, I'm not going against the word of what everybody involved in the sport year-round says. And when they say that this DQ, albeit an historic one, right? First time in 145 years, if everybody's saying that it was impeding, that just because it's the Kentucky Derby, and I did hear Jordy Holtberg earlier, I appreciated the reference, right? Regular season basketball, NBA playoffs basketball, sometimes refereed differently. I don't think you can afford to look at it that way, in particular with something like the Kentucky Derby. If it's a foul, it's a foul. If it's an infraction, it's an infraction. And it made for incredible theater, didn't it? For all of 22 minutes, the jokes related to the New Orleans Saints in the NFC title game just wrote themselves. I thought about taking today off with throwing shade, but we'll still put forth a valiant effort. It's unfortunate for Maximum Security. It's unfortunate that for the first time, as I mentioned, 145 years, the first horse to cross the finish line, didn't win the race, was taken off the board, got the old DQ. It's all very unfortunate, but it seems to me to be pretty much within the letter of the law. And just because of the stakes, you don't turn a blind eye to that. And so Country House, your Kentucky Derby winner, and of all the ways that you can maybe grow interest in the sport, and in 2019, interest equals how often you're being discussed, whether it's good or it's bad. You can look top down from our president at that, and that's not a political statement. That's just how Trump gets down. And by the way, Donald Trump didn't like the fact that Maximum Security was DQ'd, said it had a lot to do with PC, political correctness. But my point is, the more that you're out there, the more that you're in the limelight, the more people are discussing you, the more street cred that you got. And so now, even more so than two Triple Crown winners in the last half decade, this is generating significant buzz for a sport that usually seems reserved for maybe a select few, at least as we look at it as far as a slice of Americana. Here in Acadiana, yeah, I think there's going to be a higher percentage, right? A bigger piece of the pie that care about horse racing. But I think globally, it takes events like this to gain some attention. And unfortunately for Maximum Security, I think they got it right. Let's go to the other side of the split screen. The other big storyline, at least locally this weekend, LSU baseball off to a roaring start Friday night, an 8-3 win. My favorite collegiate bat flip in a long, long time. And I detailed that as part of my weekly reboot podcast this week. More on that later. But despite jumping out, Bianco with the pinch hit homer, Zach Hess brilliant in relief. Despite it, LSU loses 5-1 on Saturday. Eric Walker not quite right. And they lose a football type of score, 19-15, on Sunday. A game that featured an historic comeback, speaking of historic, but all for naught, as LSU couldn't keep enough fingers in the dam, right? The offense just tried to keep up, but pitching couldn't quite keep LSU out in front. Ultimately, they give up 19 runs in 10 innings, and Ole Miss takes the rubber match yesterday at the box. So what does it all mean? LSU now 30-18. That's really not the important part. They're 14-10. In the SEC. What that means is pretty simple. LSU is not finding its way, short of sweeps at Arkansas this weekend versus Auburn almost 2 weeks from now. Short of 6 wins in 6 games, LSU is not playing its way into a national seed. Right? We know they like to get hot in Hoover. I don't know that it's going to be enough this time. I think right now it's time to focus on getting everybody healthy so you could be right at the right time. It's almost a foregone conclusion. You're going on the road if you make it to super regional play. The focus now has to be getting healthy. Cole Henry's a big part of that. I'll update that in a moment. But then once you're healthy, can you at least be at home for regional play? And I still think that's very much in play for LSU baseball. But some of the news of the day, Paul Mainieri telling reporters a couple hours ago, Cole Henry will not travel to Arkansas. It's a bummer. And now it's 3 straight series for the young phenom out of Alabama. And I'll tell you that I'm starting to believe this is going from precautionary to very worrisome. My tune last week was, that's fine, as long as he's right when it matters. I'll still echo that. But as they get further down the line, as we can all recognize, to games they need more and more, this isn't exactly the best of signs. We'll talk more LSU baseball on the other side of this break. Chris Blair, voice of the Tigers, joining us. Again, at 4:15, less than 5 minutes from right now, you'll hear from Chris Blair. Our only scheduled guest in hour number one, Ruffin Rodriguez at 5:15. And yes, I realize, middle of last week, I've made a huge mistake, Arrested Development style. I know we're going to Ruffino's on the River every Friday. I have been getting absolutely flooded with text messages, with direct messages, emails. I mean, literally everything short of a freaking carrier pigeon. What happened to Ruffin Mondays at 5:15? People set their calendars to it. Why? Well, we did it for 3 straight years. We're correcting that. We're going to bring Ruffin back Mondays at 5:15. He'll be in the spot where you expect him in the lineup. And then Friday, it'll be a peekaboo thing. Whenever he can, he will join. But today, Ruffin Rodriguez at 5:15. Jody Dimling, I'm excited to have him aboard. He covers Louisville sports, but he knows the Kentucky Derby. So we'll get the inside track from Jody Dimling at 5:45, and at 6:05, James Buers of the Acadiana Advocate, first on the Carrancro Boys, the LCA Girls, winning track state titles. Then we'll go in on 7 area teams that are heading to McMurray Park this weekend in Sulphur to play for boys baseball state titles. A lot to get to today. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Let's go, baby!
This is Acadiana's number one sports station. And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Back at the saddle on a Monday. This is B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love and the famous Clint D with you until 6:35 this afternoon. That's the fun, quirky time that AstroLaunch requires. 7:10 is your first pitch from the Juice Box. Kansas City at Houston. Jacob Junis versus Garrett Cole. Later in today's program, well, we'll talk a little bit about another one of the Astros' aces. Not Garrett Cole, the other one, the older one, Justin Verlander. He was on the winning side of things in Mexico late yesterday afternoon, but he wasn't thrilled about the altitude, even more so about the juiced baseballs. Trust me, you don't want to miss that. We'll get to that circa about 5:30. Right now, we're getting out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Our pleasure to bring back aboard Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers. Chris, thanks for doing this on a Monday. How are you today?
I'm good, Ben. Hopefully you're doing well.
Things are good on this side of the basin, and they started off really well on your side Friday night. Take me through not just what we saw with Drew Bianco. Obviously, that's been garnering a lot of headlines, but the performance from Zach Hess coming out of the pen and stretching out over four innings. How refreshing was that?
Yeah, it was pretty good all the way around. I mean, according to script, just the way they wanted it to go. You know, I thought Mikhail Hilliard did a pretty good job, but still unable to go, you know, very deep against a pretty good hitting Ole Miss team. And again, it was a close game until, you know, the latter inning. So they decided to go to Zach Hess. You know, as expected, it was an electric moment when he comes out of the bullpen and you kind of see him the way we did back in 2017. And he's out there staring down batters and umps and anything who got in his way. Was out there maximizing his effort. I mean, he was throwing the ball in the mid-90s, didn't have to pace himself as he had to as a starter. And it was kind of exactly the way you wanted it to go. And then after seeing that performance, the Tigers come up and, you know, get a couple of big blasts, big home runs, and build up that lead and go on to win 8-3. And, you know, you were off to a good start. You certainly had momentum. You felt like in your corner. Headed into, obviously, the rest of the series. But, you know, it only counts as one game, and LSU unfortunately found that out the hard way.
I'll ask you a question that's probably best directed for Alan Dunn, but as you've watched Eric Walker come back from injuries all of last year, a little bit of a rocky start this year as far as, you know, how ready he was, what do you see from the young man now and what he's able to give this pitching staff?
Well, I mean, it's interesting because you go into this week, which I know we're going to talk about, and, you know, you're looking for starting pitchers, obviously, that can give you 6-7, sometimes even a complete game, although that's awfully rare in this day and age. But you're looking for somebody to give you, you know, 6-7 solid innings. And, you know, that's been an issue for LSU here over the last couple of weeks. They just haven't found the cat that's been able to do that. And, you know, that's kind of what you're hoping for. You look back to Eric Walker's performances in 2017, that was kind of what he was able to do, especially when he was able to find his location and keep his location most of the game. I mean, if you think back 2 years ago on that trip up to Fayetteville, again, on paper, a pretty tough series for LSU. They end up taking 2 of 3, and Eric Walker goes a complete game shutout. So, again, you know, having those guys obviously is good. You just want to be able to, you know, obviously get a little more out of them because you're leaning on your bullpen, which has been very good this year, but you're leaning off on them quite a bit, especially against really good teams, and you're going to continue to see good teams until this season comes to an end.
When you listen to baseball, LSU baseball, 103.7 The Game, this is the guy you listen to, Chris Blair. Give him a follow on Twitter, at LSU Tigers Voice. 19-15 on Sunday. The more indelible thing for you moving forward, was it the comeback with two outs in the bottom of the ninth, the three straight jacks, or the way it kind of quickly fell apart in extra innings?
Well, I think the fact that they didn't give up. I mean, you know, I think Coach Maneri was upset in Saturday's game because even though it was just 5-1, they just kind of went through the motions in those latter innings. Now, a lot of that had to do with pretty good left-handed pitcher from Nikhazy, for the opposing team at Ole Miss. But, you know, again, it was heartbreaking considering that they had come back. I mean, scoring 6 runs with, you know, 2 outs in the bottom of the ninth inning is fairly improbable. And then, you know, you come down from that, you give up 4 runs in the top of the 10th, you fall by the score of 19-15. I mean, that's tough. And, you know, you could sit in the clubhouse yesterday after the game that, you know, there was just such a up and down and in such a short amount of time. The emotion was up. It looked like they had all the momentum. And credit to Ole Miss, they took it back in the top of the 10th inning, hold on to win. So I still like the fight you see in them. You just need to be a little more consistent. But, you know, frankly, Ben, that's kind of been the story of this year.
Tigers have Louisiana Tech at home tomorrow night, Chris, Thursday through Saturday at number 4 Arkansas. Currently, the Razorbacks lead the SEC West. from what you've seen of them, what you've heard and read about the Razorbacks, what makes them so tough in 2019?
Well, they're just an all-around good team. I mean, offensively, they lead the league in virtually every statistical category. So, they're a team that's going to swing the bat, you know, very reminiscent of what we saw here from Ole Miss this weekend. I mean, they're not afraid to get up there. They've got hitters with power and extra base hits throughout the lineup. It's not one of those where you got to worry about the front four or the middle three. I mean, you got to be ready for everybody who comes to the plate. Defensively, they're a good ball club, and they've got good enough pitching. And, you know, that's why when you look at their statistics, look at the schedule, look at their wins, it's no surprise that they're battling for the SEC title.
It's Arkansas this weekend on the road, Auburn at home to finish the regular season. I guess LSU right now at 14-10, Chris, what are your thoughts on where they're projecting and what they'll need to do to maybe move up the ladder a little bit?
Well, I mean, it's tough. I mean, you got 6 games remaining. As we mentioned, you go to Arkansas to play the number one team or one of the number one teams in the SEC, certainly in the West. Then you got Auburn, who's kind of been up and down this year. They come off a pretty good series win against rival Alabama, although Alabama's struggling this year. It's no surprise in that. But to me, you got to get 18 wins to even be in the consideration in the league, that is, to host a regional. I think LSU's reputation, their history, the fact that, you know, they can sell some tickets to the NCAA in an area of the country that loves college baseball, 18 wins would help them. Again, that means they got to take 4 out of the next 6. Anything after that becomes, you know, a daunting task. Yeah, winning 19 SEC games probably gets you that host regional. If you somehow go and win all 6 games remaining and have a decent showing Hoover in the tournament, yeah, I guess it's not out of the realm of possibility to be a national seed. But, you know, all of that is much easier said than done. So the next 2 weekends, depending on how many goals are still up on the board for this baseball team, I mean, it's all going to come down to the way they perform over the next 2 weekends. And, you know, as you pointed out, it's just not going to be easy. Yes, you have Auburn at home, but you got Arkansas on the road. And, we find out today Cole Henry's not going to be able to make the trip. So, again, you're without arguably your best pitcher, best starting pitcher. Does that mean Zach Hess goes back to the starting role? No, that wasn't announced today. May not be announced for a couple of days. So it's a tough road to hoe. There's no question about it. Is it out of the chance? No, there's always a chance. But, and LSU baseball has always kind of turned it on when the calendar flips to May. So I'm sure that's kind of what they're relying on here over the next 2 weeks.
Coming down the stretch with Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers. And speaking of when LSU's usually hot in May, they love going to Hoover. What is that experience like for you? You've done it a couple of times now. They always play late in that tournament. Would you compare it to anything else in your professional career?
No, it's a real event. I mean, I think I've been blessed to do the Hoover tournament for 3 years, got a chance to go to Omaha for a solid 2 weeks. And I really think that both of those cities do a great job in hosting those tournaments. And Hoover does a spectacular job. And, you know, with the additions they made at the request of coaches and athletic directors and the conference, they decided to keep it there after kind of looking around to see what other options were available. But, you know, with the new Fan Fest area, the new practice facilities, the comfortability, location, Hoover does a great job with it. And I enjoy that week, because, hey, you get to call some great games. And I've been, you know, privileged enough to be a part of some really memorable ones for LSU. But, you know, it's a great tournament. You go and take in the game you work, and then if you want to stay and watch the game after or maybe catch the game beforehand, I mean, it's just great college baseball. So to have it there in what I consider an intimate setting in Hoover, it's a fun week. I look forward to it every year.
Chris, before we let you go, especially when you travel outside of Baton Rouge and outside of Louisiana, are you hearing some increased buzz, what people are kind of wanting to know about LSU football, given what they did last year and then maybe the addition of Joe Brady to that offensive staff?
Yeah, you really do. I mean, it's funny you mentioned that. I mean, oddly enough, when we were in Tuscaloosa last week, I mean, there was a lot of Alabama fans at the ballpark and then in town, you know, going out to eat, having lunch and dinner. That say, hey, you boys are making some moves. Coach O's getting some people, you know. You hear the offense is going to change a little bit. So part of it, obviously, is in jest. Nobody's wishing LSU does better, especially outside Baton Rouge, as you know. But, yeah, it's certainly on their radar, which tells you, if nothing else, LSU's headed in the right direction.
One of the busiest men in sports. Chris, thanks for sparing some time. We'll be listening to you tomorrow night.
Thanks, Ben, as always. Have a great one. Go Tigers.
Chris Blair, voice of the LSU baseball Tigers for now. He'll get into football, then basketball, the whole thing. It goes year-round. it's a cycle and a treadmill that he really just can't get off. As we head into a half hour break, I want to remind you, we'll be on remote thrice this week. Bumper to Bumper Sports, Wednesday live from Musenpatu Pre-Owned on Jefferson Terrace in New Iberia. Thursday, back at the Taproom River Ranch. Friday, at Rufino's on the River. We have more details and specials involved with all three. We'll be sharing them as we proceed. Coming back in, time to ask the sink or swim question of the day. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, Ben, Clint, and you on 103.7 The Game.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
I got a good one for you, Clint. Before the question, before any of the other nuggets about sports, the biggest thing in pop culture today, well, we've got some response to it. Bumper to Bumper Sports, we're right back in on 103.7 The Game. Look, I am not up to speed. I'm not current on Game of Thrones. I don't mind telling you that, and I'll leave it right there. My wife and I were convinced, finally, that we needed to watch it, so we started watching it. It's a long process. I'll holler at you in a few months when we're ready to catch up to where all of you are right now. But I am aware of the fact, because I have a cell phone and it has social media, that there was a Starbucks cup that appeared in last night's episode. Clint, have you seen the response from HBO to the outcry about that cup?
I have not, actually. I have not seen that.
What are you, producing this show? You haven't been on the internet in the last 30 minutes?
This thing's
been out there for 30 minutes, dude. Usually you consume it in like 30 seconds.
I don't follow HBO on Twitter, so that might be why.
I don't either, but this found its way to me, and now I'll share it with YP, you people out there in listener land. HBO's statement, in regards to the thousands of inquiries from those who saw a craft services coffee cup in the episode, this is really good. Quote, the latte that appeared in the episode was a mistake. Daenerys had ordered an herbal tea, end quote. Thank you, HBO, for being a part of the joke, right? There's a way for you to get in the way of the joke, and then there's a way for you to just steer right into the darn skid. You did just that. So I wanted to make sure that you had the latest from HBO and Game of Thrones. And now you do. All right, we let off the program with the Kentucky Derby, at least partly. The DQ that... well, it's reverberated through to today, and it's going to continue for a while. I know that there is an appeal that's filed. I can't imagine that goes anywhere. Not when the stewards, not when everybody involved with all the commissions that you can imagine are associated with big-time serious horse racing. And everybody signed off on this, and it does look to me like they got it right, as much as it doesn't follow the protocol of what we're used to. 144 years, it never happened. There's no way that any of this, to me, gets overturned. And there's no way that anybody with, what, spilled milk, sour grapes that lost their bet is going to be made whole on this thing. So, too bad, too sad. But the Kentucky Derby certainly has been a big conversation with people. As I mentioned in the break, you heard me reference this week's weekly reboot podcast. I think the Drew Bianco bat flip was absolutely hilarious. And I think it deserves to be way up there in the awesomely disrespectful sports moments in recent history. And so I'm taking those two, I'm putting them together, and it's all part of today's question.
Love, exciting and new.
A question that can only be asked in South Louisiana. Which sports moment generated more chatter for you this weekend? Is it one, the Kentucky Derby DQ, or is it two, the Drew Bianco bat flip? I'm wondering if this one will even be close, but I'm giving you a chance. All you have to do is call. Let us know. 706-0111. Clint, which one is it for you?
For me, it definitely is the Kentucky Derby disqualification, because it was just so much going on. Like, you wound up having 20 straight minutes of a review. Imagine if that happened like in any NFL game, I know everybody talks about it comparing it to regular season versus playoffs, but any game where you have like 20 minutes worth of reviews, you just keep cutting to the jockeys, you keep cutting to the horses kind of getting moving around just in case, you know, things happen. And then you have like them just waiting. You cut to the review truck or the review closet, I guess you would call it, because my goodness, that was a mess. But I feel like that one created a lot more chatter for me this weekend as opposed to the Drew Bianco bat flip, because I feel like after he got plunked in the next game, it kind of just went away for me.
How did that make it go away for you?
That
made it so much better. All right. Have you seen the Major League movies?
Yes, of course.
And they always talk about the Duke. He would throw at his own kid. Yeah. The guy ordered for his own kid to be thrown at. And, by the way, I don't blame him.
Yeah.
Even if he didn't order the code red.
Yeah.
Somebody still put Santiago down, as that reference goes. And it's awesome. Everything about that to me was fantastic. And I'm not going to spoil the entire podcast that I did because I went off on it during the podcast. The best part, I'll boil it down, the best part was the reaction of his dad.
Yeah.
And just everything, if you know the backstory, everything about that is spectacular. And there's just this moment of, how dare you flip the bat on me? I put the bat in your crib, kid. You know what I mean? I encourage you to go somewhere else. It's my damn birthday. There were so many parts of that were fantastic. Like I said, I recognize this is a provincial question. You can't ask this in Alabama, New York, California, and expect anything different than Kentucky Derby. I'm just wondering, since Jordy Holpert has basically commandeered the water cooler, I can't have that. So I have to ask, what were you talking about at the bar on Saturday night or Sunday? That's what I'm driving at here, because I'll tell you, maybe this speaks to the company that I keep, but more of the people that I saw this weekend thought that was hilarious. They couldn't get enough of it. And even Friday night, there was the ongoing mini drama, if you will. If you follow the sports writers that be on Twitter, they kept asking, is he going to throw at his kid tomorrow? And then they did. Everything about that to me was perfect baseball, right? Unwritten rules on the front end, on the back end, father-son action. Obviously, Mike, just for years coaching under Skip Bertman at LSU. So, for me, that moment had a lot wrapped up into it. And everybody right now, all the LSU fans, I guess, have that turtle head just inside the shell. Because, yeah, after that, Tigers lost two in a row. Nobody's happy right now. Nobody's flexing. But you got to admit, that moment was pretty hilarious, and it was pretty cool. We'll have some more time on the other side of this break, because I have to think that there's some opinions here. And maybe what I should be asking, I just knew that our good friend Raymond Parse III would take this before I got to it. Did they make the right decision? That's the sports trivia question. That's the sports show question asked around this country all day today. Did they get it right at the Kentucky Derby? So certainly we can wade into those waters. But I'm interested to know, what's got you chatting more this weekend? We can discuss more of that on the other side of this break. The other topic I had planned for hour number one, we haven't talked a ton of MLB this season outside of the Astros. I'll fix that when we return. Pretty cool stuff that came out from the mothership. What happened in the month of April? Who's off to a hot start? Who is absolutely C-Rap in the bed? I'll give you a hint. It's the Boston Red Sox. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We're coming back in. No more whispering on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Show.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at
103.7 The Game.
Right back in one final time to close out hour number one. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Ben and Clint taking you home on 103.7 The Game. So many awesome gambling stories related to the Kentucky Derby. There are just about every single year. One of them has Tom Brady losing a $100,000 bet to Danny Amendola. And by the way, it had nothing to do with the race. It's about hitting an object far away with a small football. Seriously, for all the money that was won and lost on the track at Churchill Downs. That one absolutely floored me when I caught it earlier. You want to weigh in our sink or swim question of the day? Which sports moment generated more cheddar for you this weekend on a local level? Was it Drew Bianco and the hilarious bat flip on Friday night at the box, or the Kentucky Derby DQ? You can also go in on whether or not you think the powers that be with the Derby got it right. In the way of an update on that, I told you that there were appeals, specifically Gary and Mary West, owners of Maximum Security. They filed an appeal of the DQ with the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, and less than like an hour and a half later, and I'm not even joking, it was denied. And I mean summarily and quickly by the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission. So don't look for anything that happened on Saturday during the Run for the Roses to be overturned. It may be historic and it may feel semi-asterisk driven, but I think ultimately, again, my opinion, that they got it right. You disagree? Call us while you can. We got another 25 minutes or so with phone lines wide open. 706-0111. In lieu of any calls on a Monday, I have prepared some talk on Major League Baseball. Pretty darn good article. David Schoenfeld from the Four Letter Network. It's all about what happened in April. I'll give you his big five storylines, but more than that, I want to dive into what he said on the Astros and what he had to say about some of the biggest winners and losers from the first full month of the Major League Baseball season. His five storylines, lots of home runs. Again, go ahead and earmark that. We're coming back to it not only in this segment, we're coming back to it when we throw some shade, because Justin Verlander, he didn't just pepper the corners with that topic. He came right down the gut after his game in Mexico yesterday on all of the home runs and the juiced baseballs. But I agree with David Schoenfeld. Hard not to. Dingers on top of dingers on top of dingers in month number one. His second point, bullet point, dogfight in the National League. Yeah, you got a lot of good teams out there. And it's not just, as we expected, the Los Angeles Dodgers. You know, it's not just some of the heavy hitters, but you've got some other teams that have entered the fray. Number three for him, Cody Bellinger and Christian Yelich. Kind of goes back to number one. They're just pounding the baseball regularly over the fence. Christian Yelich in particular of the Brewers just absolutely tearing the cover off of it every time he plays my St. Louis Cardinals. The fourth big point, defending champs playing like chumps. Astros fans are digging that when it comes to the Red Sox. More on them in a moment. And then number five, Vlad Jr. reaches the bigs. He just takes hacks like the old man. It's the greatest thing in the world. I loved watching, back in the day, Vlad Sr. and like Andrew Jones. Both of those guys could hit a homer from a knee. Just a ball that was in the dirt, might have even hit the dirt, and they could just one bounce, crush it over the fence. So it's good to see Vlad Jr. make his way up. But the only team that got an A-plus as far as their April performance, the Tampa Bay Rays. And how the hell are they good? I don't know if they could stay this good. And they're not even getting maybe the best performance from a guy we thought was their best player in Blake Snell. Got a $50 million extension in the offseason, but they've come out looking like a rose with Tyre Glasnow, who they took in the Chris Archer trade with the Pirates last year. So the Rays with an A+. Hey, my Cardinals with an A. But I won't make you listen to that whole spiel. I will give you something on the Twinkies. The Minnesota Twins, they're graded out with an A, and I think they deserve it. And they're right up there at the top in terms of the home run clip that they're on. Consider this. The Twins lifted off 49 homers during their first 25 games. That leads the majors in home run rate, at-bats per home run, and they're going to pulverize their franchise record. So the Twins are certainly benefiting from what Justin Verlander might have you believe, and he feels strongly, is a juiced baseball. But they're not the only ones. The Mariners, within the Astros division, they're doing some pretty stupid things as well, at least with consistency. Seattle has hit a homer, or did hit a homer, in each of its first 20 games. That's a record to start a season. It's really part of the way that they got off to their 13-2 start. So the ball, it's leaving the yard at an alarming rate. Let's get to the Houston Astros. They're graded out through the month of April with an A-. Here's the biggest storyline, again, per David Schoenfeld of the Mothership. Justin Verlander keeps rolling along as one of the best starters in the game at age 36. After finishing second in Cy Young voting in 16 and 18, you'd know he'd love to go one spot higher in 19 and become the oldest Cy Young winner. Here's your trivia. Since the Rocket, Roger Clemens did it in 2004. He was 42 years old. The only place he's suggesting that the Stros would like a mulligan, and I think we'd all agree with him, the offense hasn't really kicked into gear yet, says David Schoenfeld, ranking in the middle of the AL in runs scored. And he says you have to wonder if the Astros still need another left-handed bat. Yes, they signed Michael Brantley, who's been excellent, but their only other lefty bats are Josh Reddick and utility man Tony Kemp. And so when Brian McTaggart, MLB.com, comes on this show and says he thinks that DH is where they need the most work, maybe that's how we start to frame this going forward. DH, yes, but a lefty would really help this lineup out. A couple of other big-time storylines with the Philadelphia Phillies. On the plus side of things, well, they've added a ton. And between JT Realmuto, Bryce Harper, Andrew McCutchen, you add those bats in with a guy like Rhys Hoskins. This is a team that has several of the league leaders in walks, so they're incredibly patient. And the Phillies, along with the Dodgers and my Cardinals, it's making for what should be a pretty fun National League race this year. But taking it to a local level, I think he's spot on with the mulligan, or maybe what's ailing the Phillies right now. And his question is, what is wrong with Aaron Nola? After finishing third in last year's Cy Young voting, his command, his swing and miss curveball aren't there. He's given up two or more runs in four starts already. He did it only three times in 2018. The suggestion here is maybe he's pitching a lot of cold weather, so his pitching will warm up when the weather does. Let's hope so. Nola was one of the best stories in Major League Baseball last year. This year, at least so far, not so much. And I'm not going to bore you with everybody else who graded out kind of in that C to D range, but I'm sure that everybody, well, they don't mind the Red Sox just blowing it so far. And the defending world champs have done that. They were graded out by the Mothership with an F minus CD and F minus. On the bright side, Schoenfeld noted, they're almost certain to win at least one Chris Sale start before the season ends. That's just ice cold. And what's ironic is he said the one starter that's been fairly consistent and good so far has been David Price. If you're scoring at home, David Price was put on the IL, not the DL, because that doesn't exist anymore. It's a little too PC. You digging the acronym so far? Right. But on the injured list today goes David Price. So things go from bad to worse for the Boston Red Sox. But tonight, Kansas City at Houston, Garrett Cole on the mound. In between your birthday yesterday, Clint.
Yeah.
In between going to Avengers Endgame, which yes. I know you did this weekend. Did you catch any of the Stros in Mexico?
I caught a little bit of that on Sunday afternoon. Wound up in between, kind of jumping back and forth between the LSU Ole Miss series finale and obviously the Astros game on the big Mothership channel. That was really cool. That was kind of, you were able to flip back and forth with relative ease between Astros and LSU.
I told you, man. Get that split screen in your life. I let off our program trying to give an audio version of a split screen.
One of these days I'll do that.
Get that in your life. You're 30 years old now, dude. Come on. You're into your fourth decade of living. You haven't figured that part out yet?
Yeah, 10 years from now I'll be able to say, like Mike Gundy, I'm a man, I'm 40.
Yeah, well, God willing.
Yes.
But if the Astros could find a way to keep scratching some wins across, that'll keep you healthier and increase your odds of getting to 40.
Exactly. And they've been performing really well lately. Hopefully we can see Garrett Cole start getting back. You talk about that spin rate. I think that's definitely a big thing whenever it comes to Garrett Cole's success. Because it felt like at least the last couple starts he had outside of the one he had last week, it hadn't necessarily been there as much.
I think it's real simple, in my opinion, with Cole and Verlander. They don't always get the best support. And isn't that the the devil in the details, is some of the lesser than starters seem to get better run production. Verlander got his last night in large part due to a grand slam from Alex Bregman, but you're right, Garrett Cole got to get his chance tonight. That's coming your way at 7:10. Astro launch at 6:35. Between now and then, we've got some dynamite guests. Ruff and Rodri, second time in two shows. We're bringing it back, getting the band back together. Mondays at 5:15, we're going to plug Ruffin into his old spot by popular demand. Jody Demling covers Louisville sports on the reg for 247 Sports. He's going to talk Kentucky Derby, and James Buehr's at 6:05 going in on the prep side. But right now, let's wind down hour one with one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Perpetuation. And with James Harden basically barreling over Draymond Green, call that didn't go against them, Steph Curry missing a wide-open layup, everything in Houston, we've got the perpetuation of a series a lot of people were looking forward to. I was among them. But as I told you late last week, I'm kind of hoping this one starts to die down. Not going to happen that quickly. Golden State up on Houston 2-1. But the Rockets, Mike D'Antoni, James Harden and company, CP3, they ain't dead yet. Perpetuation of that series, it's happening. And that's the final word of this hour. It's brought to you by the Village Station. They're your final stop to fill the stomach and tank as you head home on Maurice Avenue. We'll be right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Three-seven Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is KLWB Karen Crow Lafayette.
103.7 The Game, a Delta Media station. Call Lafayette Roofing. 23.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour two of three underway. Ben Love joined by the famous Clint D. And that would make this Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game for the next hour and 35 minutes. We got you from inside the 237 Roof Studios. Remember, there's no job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. Busy hour. Ruff and Rodrigue, Jody Demling coming aboard. We'll be talking a lot of Kentucky Derby with them. You want to talk it with us? We've got time. 706-0111. And that brings us back for the 5 o'clock crowd just getting in the vehicle. Brings us back to the sink or swim question of the day. Which sports moment generated more chatter for you this weekend? The Kentucky Derby DQ, the Drew Bianco bat flip, which I know was only one small part, one moment in an entire weekend series for LSU, and one that didn't go well on a results basis, losing 2-3 to Ole Miss. But it seemed like a moment that probably won't come again when you consider all of the circumstances. Again, you're welcome to go in on that. I'll lead off with the Derby. But before we get to Ruff and Rodrigue, within the next 10 or 12 minutes, I've got something else that I wanted to share on LSU football because it doesn't always happen to me, and it did earlier today. I'll share that story in a moment. But as it pertains to the Derby, I know we've got something historic on our hands, and I also know, as I told you at the end of hour number one, Gary and Mary West, owners of Maximum Security, their appeal to the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission was summarily denied. I mean, like within 90 minutes of submitting it. And I can't imagine, as much as there is some outrage on their part, as much as some of the muckety mucks will say, well, how can you basically take somebody off the top of the leaderboard? Or how can you have a champion and then 22 minutes later use the eraser and run it back? I'm going to suggest that fair is fair. And I think in that moment, I'm not sure there is such a thing as saying, well, you know, it's too big of a moment. You can't make that decision. You can't overturn it. I'm not a proponent of saying you have to let that go. Because when it's understood in that sport that if you veer into the path, basically, if you impede the path of not only one, but if you go back and watch it, multiple horses, not really sure how you can let that stand. And so, again, I know it's tough, but I think they made the right call. And so, Country House, your winner. No Omaha Beach. Maximum Security wins it and then does it. So in a weird way, and I led off the show saying this as well, this might actually give more juice to the sport than two Triple Crown winners in the last 5 to 6 years. I think this has an opportunity to keep horse racing, the Kentucky Derby, and what comes next. This actually might give them a little more pub nationwide and worldwide than had Maximum Security won and be heading toward a second of three legs to win another Triple Crown. Just my take. Let's get yours out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Ralph, what did you make of the Run for the Roses?
Well, Ben, I have to admit, I became a horse racing degenerate back at USL in 1982. Went to the track for the first time. And unfortunately, I spent way too many evenings at the track when I should have been studying for you know, exams. But I love the sport. And to be honest with you, I'm kind of proud of them for doing the right thing and making the right call. I mean, the easy way out would have been to say, yeah, clearly Maximum Security was the best horse. He was going to win. He didn't, you know, affect the outcome as far as the winning of the race. Now, I will argue that War of Will, the one horse, I think had a little momentum going. I think he could have hit the board if he hadn't been impeded. Home or whatever. He was not affected in any way, despite what his jockey said. But luckily, I mean, they did the right thing. It'd have been so easy just to, you know, say poo poo it, you know, and the best horse won, so let's just let it go. And I can't help but go back to the, I hate to make this analogy, but back to the NFC Championship game, where if the refs could have huddled under, you know, I don't care if it takes 21 minutes or 2 minutes to decide, hey, that was pass interference that should have been called. We need to you know, so there's been an infraction clearly of the rules of racing, and they got it right, you know, and kudos to them, man.
They did, and they stood their ground even when it took a minute or 22 and when it wasn't necessarily easy or popular. Ralph, I'm right there with you. Thank you, brother. I agree with them. I mean, look, it's a rule for a reason. And CD, did you catch that there? Subliminal trolling there. Ralph on the rules of racing.
Yeah, there we go. I like that.
Somewhere the rules of football guy just stood up in mom's basement and said, you know what? I should probably get on the hotline. And he can, and so can you. 706-0111. We got time for you to call in. We can talk Kentucky Derby. But while I have this moment, I get asked to talk LSU football a lot. I don't mind it. I've been covering it pretty closely for quite some time. These days I live in Lafayette, but still it's a big part of this show. And so I talk it on an almost daily basis with you. I go in public and I'm asked to talk it a lot. I get asked to do regional and national radio shows as a guest talking it, but almost never on the 6th of May. Or, you know, this time of year. I got a text bright and early this morning. Sirius XM ESPNU Radio. You want to come on and talk Ed Ogeron and this offense? I want you to just think about how strange that would be for somebody like me who covered the back half of the Miles era and this transition that we've been watching into Ed Ogeron. And maybe for you, this will be pretty strange as well. People nationwide want to discuss LSU and an innovative offense. People want to discuss LSU playing at a high level and competing with the elite of the elite. Okay, well, that part isn't as new for me. The amount of appearances I did in 2011 was staggering. So, yeah, LSU has been good in the last decade, no question about it. But I think that it's kind of the convergence of both. It's this idea that they won 10 games last year. The fact that Ogeron is recruiting as he is, it's got some people who maybe wondered if LSU was starting to slink into the distance, rethinking that. And if you heard Chris Blair with us in the 4 o'clock hour, voice of the LSU Tigers, I asked him about it. Hey, especially when you get out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, are people starting to ask you a little bit? Is there some maybe enhanced interest in LSU football? Hey, what's going on down there? And he said, I'll paraphrase, yeah, it's funny you would ask that. We were in Tuscaloosa recently, and even those guys were saying, hey, you guys got something cooking down there. What's going on? Yes, it's winning 10 games last year. Yes, it's recruiting. But the innovative, or at least revamped, offense is the part that feels new, right? People are asking me in May to discuss LSU's offense. You could ask me to go figure out when the last time that happened is, and we could be here all day because that's never happened. In the amount of time that I've been covering LSU football, nobody's ever said, please come talk to us about their offense and the exciting things they're doing. And I could give you a lot of examples and parallels of just how rare that is, but we'll leave that one right there. So, interesting. And I'm excited to do that later today, but people nationwide are starting to wonder, what's going on with Joe Brady, Steve Ensminger? Something's happening down here. We'll see exactly how far it goes in that direction, but something interesting definitely is transpiring, and people want to know about it. All right, this hour, Bumper to Bumper Sports is brought to you by Relief Windows. Relief Windows, windows, doors, and siding. You can, you should call them locally, 337-456-1699. And did you know Relief Windows also offers new construction windows, not just replacement windows? Visit the website. You'll see more. ReliefWindows.com. We're coming right back in. Heck, we talked to him on Friday. It was so good, we're going to run it back. Ruff and Rodri on the other side. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we are Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game and 1037TheGame.com. Right back at it. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live on 1037 The Game. Hey, we had a lot of fun with our next guest on Friday out of Rufino's on the River. Had to bring him back in. It is time for Ruff and Rodri. Ruff, I know I told you this off the air, but they almost put me on a platter for taking you out of the Monday at 5:15 slot, so we had to put the band back together.
I know, man. The Mondays are such a crazy day for everybody at the beginning of the week. They're trying to figure out what happened over the weekend. What a crazy weekend for sports. You know, especially in the Kentucky Derby and then baseball weekend, and just a lot of. I'm glad to be back a part of it, to share some of the victory and the sorrow.
Well, I got to know, was there victory at the window for horse racing? I know that you put a trifecta down. Any luck with the way that whole thing shook out?
You're gonna laugh. But my advice to my friends was to put $100 down on every horse that's 35-1 or more. And I didn't take that advice. But a couple of my friends did, by the way. And they won because he was 65-1. My trifecta ticket that my son and I came up with because of whatever was 7-20-13.
So hold on, was Country House not 20, or do I have that mistaken?
Yeah, but guess it was 7-20. I had, if he didn't get disqualified, we hit.
Oh my god. So that DQ hit the wallet for you.
Yeah. And I didn't even know until like 3 hours later. I didn't even watch the race. I was busy with other things at the restaurants and stuff. So it was just a crazy day.
Well, in a related story, my wife and I bought a Powerball ticket, went to sleep Saturday night, woke up Sunday morning. We also didn't win, so I'm still doing the show today.
Hey, man, life goes on, right?
You got to keep going.
You'll be happy. I had a buddy of mine win the whole lot of Powerball one time, and he may be the only happy person that's ever won because he went to one of those conferences where only Powerball winners go to, and he says they're all miserable.
Good to know. All right, Ruffin, I got to ask you this, and everybody wants to make parallels between the Kentucky Derby, the 22-minute review, and why couldn't that happen for the Saints and the Rams? And while I get that, what did you think of the way that whole thing went down? Not necessarily the result that they came to, but their process of review.
I didn't think it took away from the pageantry of the race after seeing it. You know, I had a tape, and, you know, celebrating when a horse comes across the line is one of the, especially in a big race, that format, it's one of the greatest things that you can, you know, experience as a fan, as a whatever, And then to have the kid, you know, he's patting the horse and they're ready for pictures, and then all of a sudden, the process of now was it the owner, or did they suggested a look-see, or did it come from the box?
I believe that came from the jockeys, if I'm not mistaken.
Right?
I think it came from the jockeys. Look, I could also tell you, because it's happened in the last 30 or 40 minutes, that Gary and Mary West, who own Maximum Security, they filed an appeal basically anywhere they could, but they did today to the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, and it was denied almost immediately.
Yeah, that's a tough one, man. That's as big as the Saints, you know, but the Saints call it the biggest probably of all time in any sports because it changed the rules. You know, now they're going to look at it. It was that big of a mess. I mean, you took away a Super Bowl championship from how many players, how many wives, how many sons and daughters that, you know, won't see their dad's Super Bowl ring because of one man's or two men, well, one in the booth, if you want to say three, complete just debacle of brain cells. That's the worst. That's the worst sports. There's nothing comparable to me. And I'm this is coming from not even a Saints fan. This is just common knowledge that was that bad.
Spending some time with Ruff and Roderick, owner of Ruffino's on the River, former LSU football player, and a guy that started going to then-USL football games at a very early age. All right, Ruffin, I told our listeners this right before you came on. I was asked early this morning if I would come on a national show to talk LSU football and the evolving offense. I just got to tell you, for my 11 or 12 years in this game, that's the first time that's happened to me. In May, somebody wants to discuss an evolving LSU offense. Does that not seem a little peculiar to you?
Yeah, we get that question a lot with LSU, especially because for Les Miles and all those years of just, you know, 3 yards in the cloud of dust, Jerry Donato, 3 yards in the cloud of dust. Curly, you go back. And last time we had besides Saban with Rohan Davey and a couple of quarterbacks, last time we had a high powered offense is what I played with Tommy Heisman, 86, 87, 88, you know, when he set all the SEC records until Steve Spurrier came in to Gainesville. So people are starving for points and offense, you know. I think and from what I hear, Brady he's a sponge, and he's got energy, and he's energizing the coaches, and he's energizing the players. And when I say a sponge, he's a Sean Payton clone. They said he's gathered everything he could from the Saints and their practice packages and everything they do, and he is going to get these receivers open and in space and have a high-powered offense. That's why everybody's excited, because of one man. We'll see. But he's got a pretty good brain inside of a helmet with him with Joe Burrow. So it could be an exciting year if this guy is all he says he is. I mean, I always call him Duncan Sheik at Oklahoma, the head coach. Look what he did
Lincoln Riley.
Oklahoma. Lincoln Riley. He took a 3 yards in a cloud of dust type team, and he's made – I mean, who's funner to watch in Oklahoma? Nobody. I mean, that's as high-powered as you can get, you know. So a lot of people are excited about it. You know, and the LSU's recruiting well. I mean, they're getting those receivers they're getting. I mean, they're looking like a team of a lot of points, a lot of fun in the future.
I think you're like a tarot card reader today, man. You're inside my brain because that's where I wanted to go next. LSU recruiting as a national brand, and that's been said by former head coaches, recruiting coordinators, and assistants. They're putting it into play right now. California, the West Coast. Does this feel like something that's sustainable for you?
Yeah, I think it's Coach O. You know, you got to understand, man. He is. Have you had a chance to meet him in person?
Oh yeah.
He is an as infectious and as energetic. Now He thinks I still play because every time I see him, he charges me and he puts his forearm right in my chest. So he's so intense. He's got so much energy. He's got so much happiness. You know, it's just it's something down the bayou, man. These guys, you know, I grew up with them. They just they're unbelievably intense athletes, but they're also the happiest people on earth. And that's what he has, man. And, man, he's infectious in the team and the players. Same thing with being with Billy Napier the other day, man. When he walked in, and the customers and Rufino feel the energy go up. Billy had that energy. Certain coaches have that certain way of lighting up a room of players to get all the potential out of them that they can. And we got two right here in South Louisiana that are pretty good.
Very well put. Ruffin, you know I love doing this. Look forward to Friday. We'll catch you before the week's over.
Sounds good, Ben. I'll see you later. Bye.
There you go. Ruffin Rodriguez, a man who got messed over by the DQ. He had the 7-20, and I think he said 13. Yeah, 7-20-13 was his boxed trifecta. If it stood as was, he and his son would have come into some money. Or, you know, he would have. Can't say that his son would. It's radio. But let's be honest, they'd have shared the wealth. As it is, didn't exactly go down that way. Hey, before we hit another break, a couple of other updates to give you. LSU playing La Tech tomorrow night, 6:30, first pitch at the box. Chase Costello is going to get the start for the Tigers. The other update, this is really cool and really timely. On Friday, if you were listening, about 4:30 to about 4:52, it was a lengthy interview, and we had fun. Jake DeLome hopped on board with me and Ruffin. It was announced earlier today that Jake DeLome, along with Steve Smith, and I believe two or three others, are going to go into the Panthers Hall of Honor. Very well deserved, and a huge tip of the cap congratulations from the entire team here at B2BS and 103.7 The Game to former Terling's Catholic Rebel, Raging Cajun, and a guy who led the Panthers to and darn near through that Super Bowl in, what was it, January of 04? But Jake DeLome, huge honor today from the Carolina Panthers. And it was great to have him on with Ruffin on Friday. All right, I gave you an update just there on Chase Costello. That's a current LSU pitcher. We're going to hit a break. When we return, an update on a former LSU pitcher just got popped 5 games by Major League Baseball. I'll tell you who it is and exactly why that is happening. And then we will throw some shade. Justin Verlander, we got your back. We heard you south of the border yesterday. We'll bring that conversation up north to South Louisiana. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
BC Sportswear.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
We got the shade and we're just about ready to throw it. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Don't forget, about 10 minutes from now, to end hour number two, Jody Demling, publisher of Cardinal Authority, a 247 sports website, also the host of Cardinal Insider. My man does radio himself. He just got off his own show. He'll be with us at 5:45 to discuss the Kentucky Derby. He was all over it, and he's normally a Louisville Cardinals guy. But today, we're talking Kentucky Derby, as well as some of the fallout. An appeal that was already denied, where this thing goes from here. We'll get a local sense of what has happened in Kentucky from Jody Demling in our next segment. All right, I teased this before, right now, before we got back in to B2BS. I said there's a former LSU pitcher that's at least in a little bit of hot water, and that would be Kevin Gausman. The MLB announced about an hour ago a 5-game suspension for Braves pitcher Kevin Gausman for throwing at Jose Urena on Friday night. Gausman is appealing. He's set to start tonight's game versus the Dodgers. Fantasy alert for you. He can continue to pitch as scheduled until the appeal process is completed. And so there you have it. But when it comes to pro baseball, I've been looking forward to telling this story all day long. And we've got some audio to back it up. Before any of that, your daily reminder. Really, it's a PSA locally that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home and to beautify life outside your home. Alex will be the one to put up your shades and your awnings, while Todd mans the installation of your patio covers and those gorgeous customizable screen rooms. Collectively, the pros at Patio Center are ready to up your patio game in 2019, as in right now and before football season starts. All it takes to start is a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Justin Verlander was on the winning side of yesterday's Astros game in Monterrey, Mexico, but that doesn't mean he was thrilled about it. In fact, he was pretty darn upset with some of the goings on. And it's not just the fact, as he'll tell you momentarily, that, yeah, he had to pitch in altitude. It's not just some of the other factors that go into what makes his job hard, even in the upper 30s. He is not thrilled with the idea that it feels like these baseballs are being juiced. And before you hear from Justin Verlander, two-time Cy Young Award winner, if I'm not mistaken, coming up on the back end of his career, before you hear what he told reporters in Mexico, there's another quote that we can't air, but he gave it to Chandler Rome of the Houston Chronicle. Verlander, when asked on if balls are being juiced, quote, "Did they do it again? I don't bleeping know. The balls don't lie. This game's been around for 125 odd years. We've had the dead ball era. Now we're past the live ball era. We're in a different generation," end quote. That's a strong statement for one of the game's elder statesmen like Justin Verlander. But enough of me quoting him. Here's the man himself.
Yes, ballpark. I guess how do you feel you handled it, and how do you feel your outing went as a whole?
I mean, I feel like I handled it about as good as I could. I think the writing was on the wall. This place is double the elevation of Chase Field, and we're not using a humidor, and the balls are already juiced, and I'm a 75% fly ball pitcher. You know, I think that kind of lines up for a tough day. When I woke up this morning, though, my game plan was, hey, you know, these guys have to deal with the same situation. Let's try to get the boys a win. I was a little upset about the last one. Fletcher killed it. He killed that ball. Luke Roy's two homers. I didn't think he hit him that great. I think he hit the one right okay, but not a homer. It's the environment we're in, and our boys swung the bat just as well, and we're able to get a W today. So all said and done, happy. You know, I think after the grind, the first couple innings, I kind of kicked myself in the butt after that last one. Kind of left a sour taste in my mouth.
He says there, we'll cut him off. Somebody's got a vuvuzela in the freaking locker room. He says, all in all, happy because we got the dub. Not sure that's what his first couple of sentences portrayed there. Double the elevation of Chase Field. No humidor. They're juicing the baseballs. You couple that with a quote that he also gave Chandler Rome, whose voice you could hear asking that question. Props to Chandler. Justin Verlander with some strong statements there. The game is geared toward home runs, and some of these pitchers aren't thrilled about it. Clint, I'm sneaking in a two for today, and this one will be quick. Peter King, Sports Illustrated, eviscerated Joe Theismann for basically insinuating that rookie Dwayne Haskins will have to kiss his ring before wearing his jersey number for the Washington Redskins. Writing for Sports Illustrated, Monday Morning Quarterback, Peter King said, "That's really weird. And a little bit mindful of the emperor with no clothes. Would anyone think," King wrote, "that a man with fewer passing yards than Steve Grogan and Jim Harbaugh, fewer touchdowns than John Kitna, a lower career rating than Kyle Orton and Dave Craig, should have his number retired?" King crushed him, said Mark Rippon won a Super Bowl. Trent Dilfer won one. Come on now, Brad Johnson, Jeff Hostetler. King concluded by saying, the fact that Washington never gave Theismann's number out for years after his gruesome injury is a nice gesture, I suppose, but it's silly to think he was an all-timer, the kind of player's number should never be worn again. And I'm not sure he's wrong, but Peter King going in on Joe Theismann about as much as Justin Verlander is juice baseballs.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
When it comes to sports, if you've got hate in your heart, let it out and always make sure you do it with us. We got to hit our final break of the hour. When we return, Jody Demling to talk Kentucky Derby and a fallout from Saturday's run for the Roses at 6:05. James Buehr's all over the prep scene for you. Looking back on the track side and looking forward to prep baseball semis and finals. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports coming back in on 103.7 The Game.
You don't just want a vehicle that looks like the car of your dreams. You want it to sound like it as well. B&M Auto Sound and 4x4. The first and oldest 4x4 shop in the Lafayette area. Whether it's a Harley, Jeep, side-by-side, or anything in between. We do everything from high-end stereos to lift kits. Lafayette's unquestioned leader for the kits. Rims, tires, stereos, and lights you need to build the vehicle of your dreams. On Jefferson, across from Gidry's Hardware. And at bmautosound.com.
Jim Rome here with your Rome Report.
Jumping in on the controversy at the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. Listen, the stewards got the decision right. It was the right call. Maximum Security, the horse that was running up front, crossed over multiple lanes and clearly impeded and interfered with multiple horses, mainly War of Will and Long Range Toddy. It's clear as day in the replay, especially in the head-on, and it did impact the outcome of that race. There's no doubt he veered out multiple lanes, interfered with, and bothered other horses. Not the eventual winner, but others. And it impacted the outcome of that race. Nobody ever wants to take down the Kentucky Derby winner. But in this case, the stewards got the decision right. That's a foul. If it's a foul on a Wednesday in Kentucky, then it's a foul on the first Saturday of May in Kentucky at the Kentucky Derby. They got it right.
I can't believe it.
That Philip brought his little brother on our mission into orbit.
How long until we get there? How long until we get there? How long until we get there?
No, I can't believe how easy it was to save hundreds of dollars on my car insurance with Geico.
What's this button do? What's this button do? What's this button do? What's this button do?
No, don't touch that.
Believe it. Geico could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Napa Know How.
Right now at Napa, grab a 5-quart jug of Mobile One full synthetic motor oil for just $28.99. It keeps out harmful sludge to help reduce wear on your engine, which is important if you like cars that, you know, run smoothly. So keep your engine healthy with Mobile One, now just $28.99. Quality parts, helpful people, that's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how!
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer ends 5/31/19.
He's to the test.
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Here we go, back to the topic du jour. Everywhere around the country, we're no exception. Going to take a trip up to Bluegrass Country. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Still live and taking you home on 103.7 The Game. Aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline, we're thrilled to welcome aboard the publisher for Cardinal Authority, part of the 24/7 Sports Network and host of Cardinal Insider Radio. It's Jody Demling. Jody, how are you today?
I'm good. I'm kind of amazed that we're still talking about the Kentucky Derby. Usually not that that case, but you know what? It was an unusual afternoon at Churchill Downs.
And I have made the case for the last 2.5 hours that it's giving the sport more juice than anything else possible could have, including, as we've seen recently, a Triple Crown winner. Would you concur?
Oh, no, there's no question about it. This is my Let's see, this was my 27th year of covering the Kentucky Derby for different outlets, for the Courier-Journal, the newspaper here in town for 20 years, and then the last 7 or 8 was for radio and TV and that kind of thing. So 27 years of covering the Kentucky Derby, and I've done more interviews today alone with TV stations, radio stations, and different outlets nationally than I've done in the last 10 years combined.
Wow.
After the Derby. Now, that's saying something. I mean, because that's not a small sample size. So, yeah, I think it's people keep asking, is it a black eye? I'm not sure if it's going to be a black eye or not. Now, if Country House runs last in the Preakness, maybe it's a little bit of a black eye. But there's a lot of talk being generated about the sport of horse racing today. And I think that's good for horse racing.
As somebody who lived it with an insider's perspective, what were those 21 to 22 minutes like for you Saturday?
I honestly cannot. I can't put it into words. The feeling of standing there, the mud, because it was so nasty, everybody in the whole place, 150,000 people, not really knowing what was going on. It's hard to put into words what that feeling was. Now, it's easy to put into words when Travis Stone, the announcer at Churchill Downs, came over the loudspeaker and said, there has been a disqualification. It's easy to put that in words because it was unbelievable. The gasp, the boos, the atmosphere there, it was surreal and it's nothing, you know, I mean, I remember when the United States won the Ryder Cup here in Valhalla, here in town, in 2008, coming up the fairway was unbelievable. The atmosphere there, Kentucky Derby is unbelievable. I've been to national championships and Final Fours and bowl games. I mean, so many sporting events. I've never been around something and been in through something to where it was just a gasp because people didn't know how to react. They didn't know what to do. And most people just started booing at the time, and it was pretty wild.
We're joined by Jody Demling live from Louisville, and we're still talking aftermath of the Kentucky Derby. I saw that you tweeted out within the last hour, maybe 75 minutes, that another appeal, this one to the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, has been denied for Gary and Mary West on behalf of Maximum Security. Are we at the end of the line with some of the appeals, or is there a chance some of this lingers on past Monday?
Yeah, you know what? I think the next thing, we're at the end of the line. The Kentucky Horse Racing, under the Kentucky rules, and again, that's the one thing in the sport of horse racing that I know we're going to hear. This will come out next, is that, you know, every state has different little varying rules, that there should be one kind of uniform rule in all of the sport. And I do agree with that a little bit. And under Kentucky rules, what the stewards come up with after the race, this time being a disqualification, that is final, and there are no appeals allowed. So when Gary and Mary West sent a letter of appeal today to the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, it was pretty automatic. They sent it back and said, we're sorry, but, you know, you can't appeal. Under the state laws and legislature, you can't do that. Now, the next step would be for them to go to federal court. I do believe that they will look into that. I don't know if they will actually take those steps, but I do believe that they will look into going to federal court to see what they could do. Now, back in 1968, it's important to point out, back in 1968, Dancer's Image was the Derby winner, and on the Tuesday after Derby, it came out that he was found to have an illegal drug in his system during the race, so he was disqualified from the Derby the Tuesday after the race. The litigation or the lawsuit was filed later that week on a Friday, and it wasn't until mid-June of 1972, 4 years later, that the litigation was complete. So we could be in for a long haul here if they decide to do something in federal court. Again, at this point, it's unsure if they will, but I would be surprised if they don't.
Jody, a lot of local folks in South Louisiana are attempting to compare this to the Saints-Rams NFC title game. And there was a lot of discord, to say the least, after that. And part of it is because they didn't feel like the officials had a lot of transparency, didn't have a lot of great answers when interviewed by the on-call reporter. Was there, in your opinion, a lack of transparency with the stewards after this decision Saturday?
Yeah, I totally think so. I mean, I was there in the, you know, Churchill has a media room, and what the media room is, it's split up in a couple of different spots. And a lot of the national media, a lot of the writers, of the writers that cover the Derby are in what is normally called like the Gold Room. So it's kind of separated from the other part of the media center. And when the PR director, Darren Rogers, came in about 10 minutes before the meeting with the stewards, and he said there would be no questions taken. Well, it was kind of crazy. It was a lot of yelling and screaming, and a lot of media people were upset. That's the way they decided to do it, and that's the way that they did do it. Was it the right call? No, I don't think it was, but that's what they decided to do. I think had they answered some questions and more questions, or had they taken some questions, I think that, you know, we probably wouldn't have been at the point that we are here right now. But again, that's where we are, and that's what happened. But I think that if they'd been a little more transparent, it might have been easier for everybody to take this.
Coming down the home stretch with Jody Demling on 103.7 The Game, your reaction to Bob Baffert's reaction, who obviously wasn't pleased with the events, and he pointed out several times over, pretty emphatically, the lack of transparency. What'd you make of it?
Well, I think you have to take it with a grain of salt. I've known Bob for, since 1996, and actually, he was inducted in the Kentucky Athletic Hall of Fame last year, and so we've got to spend a lot of time with him in the time that he's been coming to the Kentucky Derby. And I think what you have to understand with his statement today and what he said about this whole thing is the fact that he does train horses for Gary and Mary West, who are the owners of Maximum Security. So he is probably has a little bit of a vested interest in what he was saying, and not that he's going to come out and not that he was, you know, not being truthful and didn't say what he believes, but I think you just have to take it with a little bit of a grain of salt and know that, he's got a vested interest in that.
Jody, I'll let you rest the pipes. I know you've been a busy man today. Thank you for visiting with us in South Louisiana.
No problem. Thank you.
Jody Demling, publisher, Cardinal Authority, and host of Cardinal Insider Radio. Pretty interesting insight. A guy that has been covering, as he said, the Derby for the better part of three decades, or as we could maybe compare it to, Clint's lifespan. Another reference to Clint's birthday over the weekend. A wasted birthday on Cinco de Mayo, and I mean that in the terms of, well, not drunk, but, you know, it's one where you just don't drink. So what did you do? We don't have much time left in the hour.
Yeah.
I don't have too much more to say to respond to Jody Demling. So what does somebody do on their 30th birthday and it falls on Cinco de Mayo when you don't imbibe? What did you do?
I wound up hitting up a Mexican restaurant. I'm not necessarily the ones that were definitely packed, but most of them were. Wound up going a little bit more closer to your neck of the woods, hitting up Chewy's, and that was some really good stuff, not going to lie.
You know, my wife and I work out near Chewy's.
Yeah, like literally it's like right across the street.
Yep, and we left there Sunday, yesterday, the 5th.
Yeah.
Cinco. At about 11:15, it was slammed at 11:15. Yeah. So I don't know what time that you slid into home base.
Oh, this
there.
Was about like probably 6, 7 o'clock. This was after about like the second or third place that we drove by. It was just like ridiculous. So we're like, yeah, this is not exactly working out, but this place, we went last year for my dad's birthday.
Nice.
And that was pretty good. So
we thought we were pretty slick. We got into La Carreta's downtown.
Nice.
And what we felt like would not be peak time, right? It was neither lunch nor dinner. It's about 3:30, yeah. 4 o'clock, and packed house. They were rolling. So yesterday was a fun Cinco, I think, for just about everyone, with the possible exception of Gary and Mary West, who are still losing appeals left and right on behalf of their horse, Maximum Security. Country House, the winner. Even if it's not popular everywhere, it's not going to be popular in the Bob Baffert household. But we appreciate Jody Demling sharing his two cents on everything that happened and what comes next. Here's what's next for us. About 35 more minutes. James Buehr's leading us off, talking prep sports on the other side of this hour break. You're listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game. And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Time to roll out. Hour number three coming at you. I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game. Also in tow for the next 30 minutes and change, the famous Clint D. We've got time for your phone calls, but boy, you better hurry. 706-0111. The reason for the hurry, well, in a couple of minutes, we're going to bring aboard James Buers of the Acadiana Advocate to look back at state track championships in Baton Rouge last weekend and forward to this weekend in Sulphur, McMurray Park, home of the state baseball championships. Semis, then finals. Seven area teams have qualified for the semis. Excited about that. We'll also get to Cajuns baseball, taking you under the dome. Used to be a popular segment. Now apparently it's its own show. But we're bringing it back to B2BS, and that's coming your way in about 20 minutes. Before we get to any of it, Clint, somebody asked why I didn't use Jimmy Buffett for throwing shade. It's a fair question. That way it's a pretty good ammunition with Justin Verlander, Peter King. But I'll at least share that story in case you haven't seen it yet. The lead parrot head, Jimmy Buffett, trop rock extraordinaire, played Jazz Fest yesterday, and he came out in the most amazing decked out referee's outfit of all time with like the Ray Charles Stevie Wonder glasses on, a walking cane, and he was throwing flags all over the place. Jimmy Buffett, who we know is tight, and I mean T for tight with Sean Payton, roasted the NFL during Jazz Fest. If ever there were a way to pander to the home crowd and the audience, the listeners at Jazz Fest, that's the ticket. And so Jimmy Buffett earning his way even further into the hearts of people in New Orleans and South Louisiana. We didn't use it for throwing shade, but it deserved to be mentioned. And well, you know, now it has. All right, enough of that. I told you we were going to bring on James Buers, now doing great work with the Acadiana Advocate. And well, we got him right about now. All right, James, excited to have you back, and it's an exciting time of year, right? We just crowned some boys and girls state champs on the track side. We've already had softball in the rear view. We get baseball at McMurray Park this weekend. It's not only a beautiful time of year, it's beautiful in prep sports.
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, it all kind of seems to come to a head with the spring sports. You know, first it's the softball state tournament, then it's the track championships in Baton Rouge, and then the whole year kind of closes with the baseball state tournament at McMurray Park in Sulphur. So it should be fun. The Acadian area has seven teams in it, all had pretty good chances of winning the whole thing, and also we'll get some new champion on the Division II side, with Turlings being knocked out, a three-time champion in Division II. So it should be interesting to see what happens in that bracket.
First time in 4 years I haven't had Mike Thibodeau on this show, and Turlings is not representing the state final. I'm sure Coach will let me know about that. Much love to the Rebels. But we will talk baseball in a minute. We got to get to boys and girls on the track side, and you are in Baton Rouge this weekend. We'll go ladies first. Reggie Williams and the LCA Lady Knights, they claimed a second straight state championship, but they actually tied for the title. I'll let you give our listeners the lowdown.
Yeah, no, it was kind of crazy. You know, LCA went into it as a defending champion in Class 1A, and, you know, for all intents and purposes, were the favorite. You know, they had a ton of qualifiers, especially in the field events. I think they may have had, like, five qualifiers, and they did well in the field events. But Haynesville really gave them a lot of, you know, a strong push at the end. I think by the conclusion of the 200-meter races, Haynesville was actually up by a point. And then so going into the 4x4, LCA was down by 10 points. So they had to win it. They didn't have the top seeded time going into the event. So, you know, they had to, you know, they knew what was at stake for them in that meet, or in that event. And, their freshman anchor, Kaylee Anderson, runs a beautiful leg for them and blows past the girl that was in front of her for about 15 meters and wins the race for them. And so, they tied with Haynesville to win the state championship. And, you know, it just continue continuing the trophy collecting that LTA seems to be doing in all sports. You know, they've won now back-to-back football championships. They've won three straight basketball championships on both the girls and the boys' side. And now the girls' track team has won two straight championships. And you know, the boys' track team at LTA did well this year, too. They finished in third, which is an improvement from last year. I think last year they had finished in seventh. So they just got great athletes and great coaches over there. You know, their head coach, Reggie Williams, is a guy that works with Trip Falls on the football side. He coaches the defensive line. And, you know, he's big into, he was a personal trainer back in the day. He trained Trip Falls and several LSU athletes like Marcus Spears and Corey Webster, and the list goes on and on. There's a ton of guys. And that's kind of the training principles that he took with him from back in the day. He's used at LTA along with Trev. And so all of these athletes at LTA are getting a really, top-notch training program in the offseason. I think that's paying dividends when they go into their sports. So, LTA is just continuing to do a lot of winning. And, they claimed another championship by the skin of their teeth, but nonetheless, they're back-to-back champions in girls' track.
A lot of people, James, and I mean a lot, in Acadiana are waiting for LCA to move up to the Class 2A ranks. What I could tell you is that within their circle, they're pretty excited about the bump in competition as well. So that should be fun to watch as it proceeds. Our guest, James Buehr, is doing a great job with the Acadiana Advocate. We'll go to the boys' side, and here's the way that I'll introduce this topic, James. Carrancrow football, I've called it for the last 4 years, from 2017 to 2018, they made a pretty noticeable jump as far as speed, you could say, as far as level of competitiveness, as far as wins. I don't think it's a mistake that last year they won the state championship. They doubled down. They did it again for Stephen Barrett, and I'm betting that's going to mean even better things for the 2019 Carrancrow football team.
Well, yeah, that's an interesting thing. You know, talking to Stephen before the state meet, he was kind of, you know, I was trying to figure out, you know, why has Carrancrow gotten so good in boys track all of a sudden? And basically what Stephen explained to me, Stephen, of course, you know, was an all-state football player for Carrancrow back in the early 2000s and then eventually went on to play at McNeese for 4 years and then even was had a rookie tryout for the Saints at one point and played arena football for the Voodoo. But you know, when he came back to Carrancrow, he eventually became the track coach. And the key for them has been keeping the senior football players on the team. Like, a lot of times, kids would go play with football players, would run track, but then by their senior year, they would stop running because they wanted to focus solely on football and didn't want to get hurt, you know, going into college if they had an opportunity to do that. Well, now I think the mindset has kind of changed amongst the athletes and like, hey, we can do something special in track and if we all stick together, we can be really good. And you know, a guy like Trajan Jones is key among them. I mean, he's going to run for the Cajuns next year, and he was kind of the leader of that team for the last 2 years. Key Alpha was another guy last year that was huge for them. He's a distance runner that now runs for the Cajuns as well. But yeah, you know, just keeping those athletes throughout their time in high school on the track, I think it helped them improve a lot. And, you know, the funny thing is they're going to be good for years to come because a lot of their key runners now are underclassmen.
Right.
You know, Cameron Angel, he's a junior. You know, Bryce Campbell, I think he's a freshman. You know, just a ton of kids. Kendra Williams, another kid, he's a sophomore. So, you know, they're going to be good for a while, and I think that's going to translate to other sports, too. They're going to be that work on their speed and agility and all that stuff is going to translate onto the football field. So Bears did it again, and they look pretty impressive doing it all on the track, no field events for them.
Two straight years, no field events, and two Class 4A state titles. That's fairly rare. So shout out to Carrancrow on the boys' side, LC on the girls' side. And James, we're not going to have time, but we got to give credit on the Class B front, the ESA girls and the J.S. Clark boys also with state titles as well. We'll move it over to the Diamond, because we've got big games coming up this weekend. And let's focus in on three. And we don't want to look past Lorville, Catholic New Iberia, Opelousas Catholic. I know you've had a chance to speak to the coaches with the Vikings, as well as Northside Christian. But for the sake of this conversation, I want you to start with Breaux Bridge. And you and I sort of joked, sort of weren't joking about a month ago when we kind of wondered, is this just the year of Pont Breaux? They win the state basketball title. Now they are in the final two to do it in baseball. Handicap their chances, James.
Well, I think they're pretty good, because what they have that some teams I'm sure would be very envious of is depth on the mound. They go about five deep, and as Coach Kyle Cormier has told me before, this is the best he's had in terms of quality depth. You know, he trusts all five of those guys. You know, you talk about Cole Mouton, who was an all-state pitcher last year. Caleb Sarovsky has been huge for them. Christian Gonzalez, Kyle's own son, Keegan Cormier. You know, all of those guys are huge for them. And that can be critical in a game where you might have to throw more than one guy, you know, in a pinch. So, obviously, it's not like the series, like the second round in the quarterfinals were at the state tournament. It's just one game, one game semifinals and then one game finals. But to have that pitching depth, I'm sure, will help them. And, you know, the interesting thing, both in the second round and the quarterfinals, they lost games and had to come back and win a third game. So, in the case in the quarterfinals, they lost the first one and won the next two, which were both played on Sunday because of a weather issue. So I think it's a team that was hungry. You know, it's got great senior leadership and wants to finally break through. They've been to the semifinals three times in a Kyle. Once was in the 2000s, and then they went 2016 and 2017. Last year they lost in the quarterfinals to Benton, which eventually won the state championship. But I think this year their chances are pretty good. They're going to play Lakeshore. To be honest, I don't know too much about Lakeshore at this point, but I would definitely give Brobridge better than 50-50 chance, I would think, just because of their depth on the mound is so good. If anything, they're just going to have to score enough runs, which is sometimes, you know, the X factor for any team, but I think their pitching could carry them this weekend.
So we touch on Brobridge as we continue with James Buers of the Acadiana Advocate. I want to get to two other programs in our area that'll play for state titles. Let's go next on St. Thomas More. You mentioned Turnley's Catholic. They won't play for the first time in a while for the Division II state championship. The Cougars will, and set me straight if I'm wrong here. They won 22 straight games, only to see that come halting to a crash in the quarters, and then they had to claw back kind of from the brink to get to where they are. Tell us a little bit more about this STM group.
Yeah, you know, from everything I've heard, you know, my boss Kevin Foote covered that series, and he told me it was a fantastic high school baseball series. You know, they lost the first game, obviously, and then had to come back and win the second game after being down, I believe, 4-0, and they won 5-4. Then in the third game, I think they were down 2-0 earlier, and then they scored eight. They had an 8-run fifth inning, including a grand slam, and ended up winning that game 8-4, if I'm not mistaken. So, a really gritty group, and I think the key for them has been getting healthier on the mound. You know, their best pitcher, Drew McDaniel, who signed with Ole Miss, he missed much of the season with an injury. So they had to have some guys step up, like John Moody and Grant St. Fear, and both of those guys did really well in district play. They might have struggled early in the season just throwing strikes, but once they started throwing strikes, I think it started translating to more wins. So, the Cougars, I think, you know, they have as good a chance as any team in that Division II. You know, Division II is just so competitive. There's so many really good teams. So it really could be any of the four teams remaining. But I think, you know, a team like STM has as good a chance as anyone. They're obviously getting the timely hitting that they need. You know, sometimes that's the biggest difference between wins and losses. It's not that you get hit, it's that when you get the hit. So I think STM's doing a good job in that regard.
And STM under Coach Perkins knocked off Edie White, we should say, in the quarterfinal grouping.
Yes.
And now they're heading to the finals. And just briefly, we do need to touch on one other area team. And this will be in, I believe, Division III, if I'm not mistaken. But Ascension Episcopal, the one and only Blue Gators, looking for their second title in what feels like 3 years. Give us the skinny.
Yeah, you know, Ascension's led by one of the better arms in the area, in Sean Michael Brady. And I think he's going to play at McNeese. And, you know, they've got another kid in Preston Osman, who's been really good for them. And, you know, that Division III, I think, is kind of under the radar, very competitive. That's a division that includes Notre Dame. Notre Dame, the defending champions in that division, actually got eliminated on the road at Calvary Baptist. But, you know, half of the remaining teams are from the Acadiana area, Catholic New Iberia and Ascension. And, you know, I think Ascension has a really good chance. You know, their catcher has been a big part of the leadership. I think anytime you have a good trust between the pitcher and the catcher, that can go a long way for a team. So I think Ascension has a really good chance this year. They were in Division Four, and then they moved up, I believe, to Division Three, and they've just been rolling under Lonnie Landry. So I like Ascension's chances. Like I said, with Shawn Michael Brady on the mound, I think they can really compete with anybody. It's just a matter of if they can score enough runs. So I would definitely give Ascension a better than 50-50 chance as well.
James, you and I always have a blast doing this, and basically, look, the folks listening may not know, we do it blind. We're not looking at brackets. We're just coming off the top of the dome, and thank God for me that I have you, because you know it a lot better than I do. You know I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Our courtesies, our thank yous again to my good friend, and that is James Buers now with the Acadiana Advocate. He is everywhere. And don't forget, as we head into a break, that this hour has been brought to you by Relief Windows. Windows, doors, and siding at Relief Windows. They offer new construction windows, not just replacement windows. We urge you to call them in Acadiana. The number is 337-456-1699 and the website reliefwindows.com. Enjoying having our new partner aboard on B2BS, and now it's about time to shuffle into that break we've been telling you about. But the great news is this: the women, the children, everybody. Time to get excited. We come back and take you under the dome. Yeah, that's still part of our program. I'll explain that in a hot second. And it is time for Clint to talk some Cajuns baseball. Pretty big weekend in Conway, South Carolina. We'll follow up on the other side. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Back in it to win it one more time. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're live on 103.7 The Game. You just heard from James Buers with the Acadiana Advocate. Every time he comes on, our cup runneth over with prep coverage, mostly on the track side. Shout out to all the champions from this past weekend. That's Boys and Girls Outdoor Track State Championships. We also went in on this coming weekend's baseball state title games from the Sulphur area. Enough of that. We're coming awfully close to the Astros. Astro launch, don't forget, 6:35. Game starts tonight at 7:10. But before any of that, we have cleared space for Clint to take off. Now, I must say, before we let him fully sprint in this endeavor, we had a segment, and we have had a segment for some time, called Under the Dome. You may have noticed Clint liked it so much, he took it and made it the title of his own show. Saturday mornings here on Acadiana Sports Station. For the sake of, well, sanity and keeping it for me, we're going to keep intact Under the Dome and occasionally bring it back. So consider this a bit of a precursor for the goods that Clint gives you on Saturdays. But for now, it's still part of B2BS. And right now, it is time to throw it to Clint. My man said it's time to talk Cajuns baseball after what Tony Robichaud and company did at the home of the Chanticleers.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The Louisiana Raging Cajuns there are in a very precarious position at this point in time when it comes to being in the Sun Belt Conference standings, currently dead last, even after winning 2 out of 3 against Coastal Carolina. And that sounds weird, but without a doubt, it's disheartening, especially if you're one of those players on the team and also one of the head coaches. Tony Robichaud, Anthony Babin, all of them are just upset about this. But honestly, with 6 games left on the schedule, they need to take a page out of Ed Ogeron's playbook and block out the noise. I think that's easier said than done sometimes, but I think Tony Robichaud can get this crew under control, and they'll have tunnel vision to make sure they can still get into the conference tournament, because right now that is not happening. Missing out on the tournament effectively means the season is over. It'll put the season as a massive disappointment after they were picked to win the West all the way back at the beginning of last year. The Cajuns, they need to avoid looking at the standings and do one thing, and that is W-I-N and win. And I'd say win a lot over these next 6 games. Probably 5 out of 6 could wind up helping you out and getting you securely into the conference tournament, because it would just be disheartening to see the Cajuns not make it to the Sunbelt Conference tournament for the first time. It feels like forever. especially under the current format that it is in with the West Division and everything in between. That's the bottom line. You win at least five of the next six games, in my mind. You can wind up doing that. And it definitely helps a lot because of the fact that the next 2 weeks, the next six games, feature some cellar dwellers, including in-state rival UM Monroe. You can throw the records out the window, though, because it's a battle to get into the tournament the next couple weeks, even more so when you look at the Cajuns and the Warhawks in 2 weeks' time, because they are only about a game apart. It's a very slim differential between the two, so that matchup is going to mean a whole lot on next Thursday, next Friday, and next Saturday. But trust me, this Georgia State series is going to be huge as well, because I think if you wind up losing one of those games, it's going to hurt your chances a lot more and make it harder for you to climb out of that hole, because you'd have to wind up probably sweeping if you don't sweep against Georgia State. And I think one of the big things you need is to have Jack Burke step his game up and perform at a very high level. But looking forward to seeing what happens, and hopefully this team can get back to Conway for some unfinished business.
Sounds good on Saturdays when he does it solo style on 103.7 The Game. Hopefully you're still enjoying it as part of Bumper to Bumper Sports. And speaking of our fair program, CD, we got to land this here shuttle. We don't have much time. We do have a little on the other side of the break, but right now I do have to get into that break. We'll give you an audition for the world's shortest segment. We do so every time the Astros are in play, and they will be within the next 45 minutes. Into a break we go. But don't fear, we'll be right back. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're about to hit a crash landing on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.